Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, airlines brazenly say they're going to do exactly what the government is investigating them for. Southwest is hiring new people, and we tell you why you need to start saving the receipt when you gas up your rental car.
Mark spent some time traveling on the Oregon coast this past week and has some great tips for places to go, things to do if you're traveling north this summer.
At 3:25, Gwen Duncan joins us to talk about how one cruise line is putting a new twist into their onboard dining. Is it good news or bad?
At 3:35, Steve LaRosa joins us to share some foodie parts of his Hollywood rock and roll pilgrimage, from Pink's hot dogs to Tommy Burgers. Steve sampled a lot of classics here to talk about it with us.
Finally, at 3:55, I share a first-person story that just happened last night, which helps explain why Southwest Airlines is the best at what they do.
And we're here to make you a smarter traveler and have a little fun along the way, okay? Join us. Stick around. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Yes, sir, we are the Travel Guys, travel and entertainment, I might point out. I'm Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman to my left, with brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Directly across there is Steve LaRosa joining us today. Steve recently went on a rock and roll pilgrimage. We're going to find out what that really means a little later on in the show. Mark, how have you been? You've been on the road to up north.
I have. I've been on the road. I just got in about 1 o'clock last night.
Wow.
We'll talk some more about that later on in the program. But yeah, I was up on the Oregon coast with some folks and in the central Oregon around Eugene, looking at the covered bridges and stuff. So we'll gossip a little bit about that a little bit later on. How are you doing?
Doing well. You were up late. I got up early. I was emceeing and running the sound for the Sacramento area synchronized swimming competition out at Rush Park.
Now, is that that's something you've been doing for a while, isn't it?
25 years.
Yeah, because your daughters were involved in
yes,
that when they were younger.
My oldest, Sarah, is still a synchronized swimming coach, so I still put in my time poolside, running the sound and helping out. So anyway, that was a little tired. But
Dad volunteering even after the dad part is over.
And oh, just teasing.
That's all right. That's why we brought Steve in, is just to be the backup.
Yeah, no, that's what dads do. And anyway, let's get to it. You got a lot of stuff in the travel news, and you got a great story to tell us about your trip back home from Oregon. We'll look forward to that. And that being said, let's do what we always do at the beginning of the show. Get to the travel news.
All right. We alluded in the headlines there about saving your gas receipt when you refuel your rental car. And this is becoming more important. It appears as though the airlines are dealing with a lot of folks who bring back rental cars that, let's say you rent a car at the Sacramento airport,
yeah,
you drive into downtown Sacramento, and you drive back to the airport, and you're looking at the gas gauge, and you say, well, heck, you know, the gauge looks like it's full. I mean, they're never going to know that I didn't just fill the gas tank up. So you just take it back, and they say, did you fill it up? And you say, yeah, I did. And so the next guy goes to rent the car, and his gas is half a gallon or a gallon low. So now he gets mad because when he fills the car, it doesn't go to the right, you know, he has to pay, he's paying for your gas in essence. And so the rental car company is saying, look, you told us that you put gas in the car, so prove it, you know, which is a little bit adversarial and not quite in line with the way things have gone so far, but you can see their point.
Well, you can, you know, we talked about this before the show. I am one of those people that always stops and does the fill up. How about you, Steve? Do you usually fill top off the tank when you return?
I like to cheat it by about 5 or 10 gallons, Tom.
Why does that not? See, this is he's the guy that this is all happening because of him.
Anyway, so what's the deal?
Well, the deal is that if some of the car rental companies are putting sensors now in the gas tank. There are sensors that will tell them that you filled this tank up 20 miles ago and that, you know, really the tank isn't full. So, but you brought up a good point when we were talking about this before we went on the air.
Right.
And you said, well, that's fine, but
But I want to make sure that when I get the car, I can be guaranteed that the tank is actually full.
Yeah,
you, if they're going to check me at the other end, I want to know that we're starting at the same place.
So really, full the tank. Only way to make sure that you have a full tank is either to have some kind of sensor in the tank that tells them that it's full, or for them to make absolutely certain when the car comes back that the previous person renter filled it.
So based on what you're saying there, if let's say, and this happens to me in San Antonio, it's about 5 miles from the airport where I fill up when I leave my daughter's place.
Right.
It's not like a half a block from the airport from where the car is returned.
Because frequently airport service stations charge a premium.
Right, and sometimes they're not necessarily real close. But at any rate, so I go 5 miles. Uh-huh. I fill up, I go 5 miles. My tank is 5 miles, whatever.
Yeah.
Piece of a, are they going to...
I don't think you're...
I give them the receipt.
Yeah, you're not the guy they're after.
They're after the ones that...
They're after the ones who are fudging the 20, 30 miles.
Half a day, somewhere between close to a gallon.
It's $5 worth of gas, and
I have a thought. How about this solution? If you see a sign that says, an arrow that says airport, you know you're close. Hit that first gas station when you see that first sign that says airport this direction.
Well, you just have to, like, you know, if you use a credit card, most people don't get a receipt at a service station because they figure it's going to show up on their... unless they're accounting for something and they need to turn in a receipt. So now it's just, and I've had this happen a couple times in recent years, but usually it's when you're renting from Advantage or Fox or Blue Diamond.
I don't even know what those are.
Exactly. These are rental car companies that are not the mainstream companies, and they're trying to nickel and dime you for everything they can. And that's one of the ways that they do it is by... You know, did you fill this up? Where's your receipt? You don't have a receipt? Well, then we're going to charge you $15 to refuel. So it's a kind of a nickeling and diming thing. But in this case, I think it probably protects the consumer. It protects you, the next renter, by going through this process with the previous guy, ensures that indeed you get a full tank of gas. And if you're getting a full tank, then you're okay with what you're saying is you're okay with bringing back a full tank.
There you go.
All right. Southwest Airlines. We mentioned this also up at the top. Southwest Airlines is hiring. They're hiring for a couple of their call centers. So you're not going to be a flight attendant or get to fly an airplane, but you're going to listen.
Well, they're probably still hiring for that, too.
You're going to listen to people like Tom and I. They're hiring, call in on the phone and give you grief. They're hiring 650 customer service reps for its call centers in Albuquerque, Phoenix, and San Antonio. So if you are interested in working for a company, and as this article kind of says, this really wasn't a press release from the company as much as it was an article that just says, you know, this company provides its employees better benefits, argues with them less often, has never had a layoff, even in times of acute problems like after 9/11 and stuff like that. So really, in terms of, you know, they show up frequently on lists of companies that are good to work for. So if you're thinking about a job in tourism on some level and you'd like to answer phones for Southwest Airlines, there is a link at travelguysradio.com. You can go to this story and you can find the link and you can fill out an application and go to work for Southwest if you want to.
Cool.
All right. Airline reviews. Tom, we were all familiar with TripAdvisor and Yelp and Google and where you can review just about everything on the planet. Up to this point in time, you can't actually review airlines. So now what we're talking about is maybe some sites that review airlines. Can you imagine what those will be like?
Interesting. And they will. We're talking about a combination of reviews and so forth from the general public that is posted.
Yeah. So it's probably going to look pretty much like a battlefield if it ever gets started, because can you imagine the number? Well, I mean, you know, no matter what the airlines do and how well they do their job, just the fact that they're dealing with so many people with so many different circumstances means that on a regular basis, people are not going to be happy with them. I mean, I kind of get that. You know, this radio station broadcasts every day to a large audience of people. Undoubtedly, on any given day, there are a few people who are not happy with whatever's being said, particularly at certain times of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, did I actually say that?
I don't know. I didn't hear it.
I didn't. Airline fee revenue is up 21%. Does that surprise you at all? The airlines are nickeling and diming people 21% better than they were a year ago.
Well, you know, we were talking about the fact that travel is up, period.
Yep.
That hotels are through the roof, particularly San Francisco. It would only make sense that airline is up as well.
Yeah, they're just making, they're making more money. And you know what fries me the most is that $200, $150 charge to cancel a ticket. Because it's like, ping, and it's canceled. And it's...
Involved there. And you did all the work by clicking.
6 weeks before the flight leaves, I doubt I'm costing them any revenue. Yeah, right. So, you know, I could see $20 or $50 or something that was reasonable, but, you know. Intercontinental Hotels has got a great promotion. If you are an IHG, i.e. a Holiday Inn person, or an Intercontinental Hotel, they're in the same group. They are giving double points for the rest of the summer through September the 7th. In addition, some people who belong to their frequent guest program have already gotten a special bonus offer by email, and these two are combinable. So if you are a IHG person, make sure that you make them first on your list between now and September the 7th. You can pick up some bonus points. And finally comes the announcement from our good friend John Holloway that Travel Outfitters is finding a new location. They're going to move from their spot on Fulton Avenue, where they've been, gosh, forever, over to a bigger store on Howe Avenue. And John has promised to come on and tell us all about it as soon as he has a date, for sure. He's got a, they're making some improvements, and they've got permits and all those kinds of things to get through. So good news if you like travel
gadgets. That's great. Now, what do you remember John's web address? Is it HollowayTravel.com?
Packinglight.com.
Packinglight.com. Go there, check it out. If you travel and you want, you need anything,
yeah,
especially the unusual.
Soon we're going to have a travel superstore, it looks like, here, just a stone's throw away from the station.
And so, I bet he sells, are you ready for this, Steve? He sells a pair of underwear, one pair of underwear that you can buy, and when you travel, you can wash and dry and reuse that same pair of underwear for, how many days was it, Mark?
17 days.
Yeah. 17 days.
I hate to admit this publicly, but I bought a pair of those for an Italy trip one time. They are the most ridiculous looking things you've ever seen in your life.
Well, it's not about looks, Steve. You're not supposed to be. It's not a, yeah, come on.
It looks like something out of a Hercules Unchained movie or something.
When we come back after the break here, before this deteriorates any further, Gwen Duncan is going to join us to talk about a cruise line that is doing a little switcheroo on the way people dine and how they pay for it. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the things that await you on the Oregon coast if you're headed that way this summer. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK.
Cheeseburgers in Paradise. Well, we're going to be talking about cheeseburgers with Steve LaRosa after the bottom of the hour. Right now, though, we are the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom. He's Mark. Mark just back from the road to from the north.
The Oregon Trail.
What'd you do? What'd you see?
We went and saw covered. You know, there's a bunch of covered bridges in Central Oregon.
Really?
That you can, which are kind of interesting, you know.
I mean, like covered bridges.
They didn't cover the bridges so that people would be dry when they went over them. They covered the bridges to save the wood that the bridges were made of.
I see. When I think of a covered bridge, I can't think of, I cannot help but think of Ichabod Crane. And
The Headless Horseman,
because there was the covered bridge in East.
Your mind works
oh my
in
gosh.
Strange ways sometimes.
Covered bridges.
Anyway, so meanwhile, these, back in Oregon.
Are these drive-through covered bridges
walk-through? Some of them you can drive through. Some of them are historic and are not intended to be driven through or cannot be driven through, depending on the weight of your vehicle. Mm-hmm. Certainly a motor coach probably wouldn't go
through. What part of Oregon are they?
They are about a 30 to 45-minute drive from Eugene near a town called Cottage Grove. Which is really a quaint little town, and the covered bridges are well worth, if you're going up Central Oregon, you're driving up I-5, why, then that would be a perfect, and you can see the covered bridges in an hour and a half. We had a guide who gave us a tour and gave us some narration and stuff like that, advantage of being with a group, but something that you could do on your own. Then we went over to the coast for a few days, and before we went over to the coast, we saw in Salem, they have this beautiful carousel right downtown that kids and adults, kids of all ages can ride. In Albany, which is down near Eugene, they have a carousel workshop. They're building their own community carousel, which is going to have like 52 animals on it, which is a lot.
Wow.
And they're only a year or so from starting construction, and they're already making the animals and the horses and carving them and everything, and you can go to the workshop and see. So that's the kinds of things that people can do when you're traveling with a group that you can't always do when you're traveling by yourself.
Right.
And so then we went over to the coast.
Now, was this a sports leisure trip?
It was.
Trip?
Okay. It was. We spent 3 nights at the Elizabeth Street Inn on the coast, which in it's in Newport. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to the Oregon coast and you're going to Newport, which is kind of the central coast there, about 2 hour drive from Portland, if you will, maybe a little bit further. The Elizabeth Street Inn is right down on the water. And the beautiful thing about this hotel is that it faces head on to the ocean. So every single room is a full view. There are no bad rooms. There's no such thing. And it's only a 4-story hotel. So some people, I guess, are a little higher than others. But the beach there is magnificent and it's close by. You can walk down to the beach and walk to your heart's content, or you can just sit on the balcony. Every room there at the Elizabeth Street Inn has its own little balcony. And they have a wonderful breakfast in the morning. There are restaurants you can walk to in the evening. There are other hotels down on the waterfront there in Newport. We went to the Newport Aquarium one night and had a wonderful dinner there. And if you're ever in Newport...
Wait a minute. The Newport Aquarium, we're not supposed to eat those fish.
No, we didn't eat those fish. We had a nice dinner there. And after hours, when the aquarium was closed...
Oh, good.
If you go to Newport, one thing you want to do is the Marine Discovery Cruise. Mm-hmm. Don and Fran have a boat that goes out for about an hour and a half.
Is this a glass bottom?
No, it's not glass bottom, but they do things like throw a crab pot in the water and come back 30 minutes later and pull it up and see what's in it. Mm-hmm. And besides the crabs, and tell you what those things might be. They have a microscope on board so that you can learn things, you know. And if you've got the kids with you or something like that, it's a wonderful family event. You can ride a dune buggy on the coast.
Awesome.
On several different levels, depending on how much of a roller coaster person you are. There's a lot of really neat things to do. But the best thing about the Oregon coast is that the weather there is, you know, in Newport, it's in like the mid-60s. Tends to be kind of San Francisco-ish, gets chilly in the evening, sometimes a little windy, a little foggy. But, you know, if you're from Sacramento and you've put up with 90 to 100, and, you know, or even if you're from Central Oregon, they've been having a real heat wave there, too. But really, really great places. The Oregon coast, Tom, is one of those places that is probably 20% cheaper than Cape Cod. You've probably heard me say this before. Mm-hmm. Accommodation, that place at Elizabeth Street Inn, you can probably get, I think it's about around $200 online at this point in time for the summertime. That same hotel room would cost you $275, $300 in Cape Cod, and it wouldn't have the view that you would have. Mm-hmm. So it's the Oregon coast is really a tremendous vacation bargain. I mean, it really is, comparatively speaking, and the fact that you can drive there or fly there reasonably inexpensively to Portland on two airlines makes the Oregon coast really one of everything from Coos Bay northward is really spectacular.
And so close.
Yeah, absolutely.
How long's the drive, Mark?
How long? Well, if you were going to drive up there, it's going to take you a whole day. I mean, you're going to be, you know, it's probably 10 hours, I would say, to Newport. So you wouldn't, and that's why it's so attractive, you know, to drive, to fly up.
Yeah.
You're there in an hour and a half.
Right.
And if all goes well. And
if you book in advance, you know, it's cheap.
Well, it's inexpensive. And the other thing is that about the Oregon coast, it's gotten to be more, we always tell people go in the shoulder season. The shoulder season on the Oregon coast has now gotten to be peak season. September and early October is so popular with people now that it's as busy or busier in some cases than July and August. So, but go May, June, you go second half of October, you know, the weather won't be quite as warm, or go in the middle of the winter and hope that you hit a storm. And the wind's blowing, and you've got this spectacular view of the storm coming in, which to me is just really, really cool. All right. Anyways, enough about the Oregon coast. We have Gwen Duncan waiting for us on the line to talk a little bit about cruise lines. Hi, Gwen.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the Travel Guys on KFBK, my dear.
Hello. I loved your discussion about underwear.
Well, thank you.
Great.
Had to tell you.
Yeah, that's just going to encourage more of that kind of behavior. Gwen, we got about 4 minutes here before we have to go to the news. One of the cruise lines has done something different with the way that folks are going to be dining on board. Usually, it used to be that you got on a cruise ship and all the restaurants were included. You ate wherever you wanted. Then we went to, well, there are specialty restaurants. You're going to pay a little extra. And now one of the cruise lines is doing a little twist on that, which, depending on your point of view, might or might not be a good thing. Tell us about it.
Okay, it's a Norwegian cruise line, and they're instituting, it's going to be effective in all of their ships January 1st, but they're going to go to what we call a la carte dining, and that's only for a limited number of their specialty restaurants. The most popular is their Cagney's, which is a steakhouse, and the regular price was $29.99. Now they're changing it up, and you can have appetizers that range from $4.95 to I think it's $7.99, and then the main courses will run $17 something to $29.99, and then
so they're going to break out the individual courses, which is going to mean that in most cases people are going to their bill is going to be more than it would have been under the old just here's a surcharge to eat in the restaurant sort of thing.
Well, it could be, but one of their spokesmen says that the change from the flat fee to the a la carte pricing or extra charge for the eateries shouldn't result in a really drastic change. She says they expect the average bill to still come to about $30.
Do you really believe that?
No.
I call BS on that. There's no way, Gwen.
She says the big difference is the passengers will be paying only for what they eat, but what's really sad is that they're finding, just like the airlines, where can they find any place to get an extra charge?
Well, don't you think, Gwen, that if you were paying, the example you gave for the restaurant you gave, it was a $30 charge before to go in, $29.99.
Yeah.
If you go in and you get an appetizer and you get a main course and you get a dessert, I'm willing to bet you that the average ticket is going to be several dollars above $29.99. And that's
absolutely. And that $29.99, which is like their steak and lobster.
Uh-huh.
So if you get that and you order an appetizer and a dessert, you're going to be paying quite a bit more than $29.99. But their contention is that the people who are ordering like pork meals or chicken or whatever
right.
will be paying for the steak and lobster.
And what percentage of people who go on a cruise ship and go into a fancy restaurant go in and order the broiled chicken?
Exactly. But there is one thing that I've contacted them to get an answer, and I have yet to get it. But I wondered if there was a minimum charge, because I could see people making a reservation, going in, and just wanting to have coffee and a really nice dessert.
I see, and kind of beating the system a little bit.
Or going in and just getting a couple of drinks and hors d'oeuvres in a nice restaurant, and I didn't get an answer for that yet.
So if this takes hold, is this likely, or are we likely to see this from other cruise lines? We got about
Absolutely.
Half a minute.
This is the problem. I believe that this is going to be attractive enough. You know, the freestyle dining went viral. It went to every one of the different cruise lines. Now, this right here, I think it's something I'll take a serious look at, because it's just another way where it sounds good for the passenger, but if they want to eat hearty, then it's going to be more expensive.
If you've watched the documentaries on TV about cruise ships and cruise ship pricing, you know that it's all about the average amount that people spend after they get on the ship. And this is just a way of inching that up a few bucks. Gwen, this is really, really good news to share this with folks. Thank you for calling this to our attention. We'll talk to you soon.
Oh, okay. Have a good one.
All right. Gwen Duncan from Cordially Yours Travel. You can find a link to Gwen's website at TravelGuysRadio.com.
And we are the Travel Guys. More to come. Steve LaRosa takes us on a rock and roll pilgrimage, starting with some yummy, yummy food right after the news next on KFBK. Sometimes a bag needs something to keep you cool. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for joining us. We're here every Sunday at 3 o'clock.
You took
okay.
my part.
Huh?
You took my part.
I did?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you this, and then you can do this part about, you know, I'm looking at this. It says annual preview day gets a bit of a new look. How did you guys find out that I snuck in to your office with my scissors, and like I used to, and started making changes to your catalog, which I've done for years.
Tom is holding a copy of the new Sports Leisure Traveler. If you're a Sports Leisure Traveler, you will get your brand new newsletter, or you might have gotten it Friday, or you'll get it in the mail this week. So that's pretty cool. Or you can go to sportsleisure.com. Shh, don't tell anybody. And I think it's posted there.
Yeah.
So last week we had a winner in our, each week we give away a travel card. We had a $400 winner. Congratulations to Nora
winner.
Nicholson. And our winner this week is Lee Bickford. Lee Bickford, who went with Sports Leisure Vacations to Crater Lake earlier this month. If you call the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday, you can win a $100 travel card. We're going to change this contest starting next month. They're going to have to call us while we're still on the air to win.
Oh, my gosh.
That's going to make it a little tougher. That'll start making this pile up a little bit. All right. So anyways, we have a special guest in studio. He's been with us many times in the past. He tends to be he's one of my favorite guys because he tends to stray from the beaten path on an occasion or two, and I like people who get off the beaten path. So, Thomas?
Tommy, can you hear me?
And he also is a producer, so we always have to have production elements.
I see.
We see a little Tommy song. Steve LaRosa, welcome back to the Travel Guys Rock and Roll Pilgrimage.
Great to be back, fellas.
And first of all, let's. Why don't you explain to folks briefly what a rock and roll
pilgrimage? Can I move this thing here? This kitty. Is this kitty? You didn't say this is where kitty sits. This they've changed this thing. You got it. There's this contraption in front of me here, and now they've got this big screen, and I can't see LaRosa at all.
But you're not missing any.
Well, how did the crowd get out of control here?
I don't know. Every time I come in here, they've changed this thing, and it's a lovely stand and stuff because it allows you to stand up or sit down. But now they've got this. It's never mind. It's just.
I can see you now, Mark.
Yep. Okay, rock and roll pilgrimage. What does that mean?
Well, it was a bucket list thing.
Okay.
Me and my buddy Bill Horton, he of the legendary Sacramento band, the Rutabaga Boogie Band, and I. We decided we were going to go to Los Angeles and visit some of the great sites, some of the great tours, and visit some of the cool museums that were rock and roll oriented.
Uh-huh.
And you, I understand one of the things that goes along with every rock and roll tour, even if you're not not always having the munchies as a result of imbibing in illegal substance.
Yeah, moving along, yeah.
There are a lot of great places to eat.
There's
down
some
in
great
L.A.
Great places.
Great food. Mark, you know a lot of them,
been,
too.
These places have been around forever, and you, looking at your list here, you hit a lot of them. Let's start with some of the burger places, some of the savories, if you will. There's a couple of burger places in L.A. that have been there forever and are world famous.
Hence our musical lead-in. Excuse me, guys.
Tommy's
yeah. Burgers.
Yeah.
Anybody who's from Sacramento, you could go to Tommy's Burgers in L.A., but you could just go across town to Willie's Burgers, and it's basically the same thing.
Really?
Yeah.
It's kind of the same type of burger or
it,
place?
It really is. Willie's was based on Tommy's.
Well, you know, let's face it. Sometimes the popularity of a food item isn't necessarily because it's a great food, but where you get it and where it is and who goes there. Is Tommy's Burger is one of the places frequented by a lot of celebrities?
I think so. The one we went to was down the street when we were staying on Hollywood Boulevard. So it might have been, I don't think it was the original Tommy's, but it's just a burger joint, and they make the great chili burgers.
They make good burgers, but of course, I'm an In-N-Out Burger guy. I discovered something at In-N-Out Burgers today. I've known this for a while.
What is it?
That you can
have
your
style.
No, but you can have your French fries well done.
That's correct.
And they're a lot better that way.
You are correct.
They are a lot better. Yes.
I did a review on their French
fries. I throw that in because In-N-Out Burgers in L.A., you know, institution also.
Started there.
Yeah, I did. Absolutely.
I say if you're going to do In-N-Out, drive across the street and get your fries at McDonald's.
Ooh. Well, really, the well-done fries were a good match. So back to burger places in Southern
California.
Let's
have some cheeseburger music. Luis? Right on cue.
All of a sudden, we are overly produced.
Okay, Astro Burger.
Astro Burger was great. It was a great burger. I mean,
if you can't get to In-N-Out Burger, you go to Astro Burger. You will not be disappointed. It's a charbroiled as opposed to a grill.
Right. You've been there, Mark?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Tell me what. Come on, describe it. What's it about?
Well, you know, we got the basic burger, but it was like, you know, the typical tomato, lettuce, onion, pickle. But it's in kind of like a 50s retro kind of old burger stand kind of place.
Juicy?
Darn juicy.
Oh, yeah. I have to have a burger juicy.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you did the burger thing.
Yep.
So then you did the hot dog thing.
Hot dog music.
Everybody, you all know the words.
this is a little obscene, but what the heck?
Perry, the song stylings of Mr. Perry Como, ladies and gentlemen.
Uh-huh.
Well, Pink's famous.
Perry Como was one of my favorite vocalists. You know what? He's been gone for a while now. Anyway, Pink's.
He digresses.
from time to time. Yeah, Pink's. We went by Pink's last year, and I told the folks who were with me at the time, we went by about 10 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And as we went by, I said, folks, look at here as an L.A. landmark and something you will never, ever see again. There wasn't a single person in line at Pink's. Of course, they had just opened at 10 in the morning.
Right.
And you could have gone up, and if you eat hot dogs at 10 in the morning, that's kind of a stretch for most people. But nonetheless, Pink's is a place that is popular. At least in Hollywood.
Yeah, we went to the original, I believe that it was the original on Melrose, and we were in line for about 20, 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But the variety of stuff they have, I mean, it's not like...
Do you see that list? Do you see those names?
I do. So what did you? Which of these hot dogs did you have here?
Oh,
can I guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
You probably had, let's see.
Chicago Polish dog, yeah. Guadalajara dog.
Something in here, in Italian in there somewhere?
Oh, you know, I just had the basic chili dog.
Polish pastrami and Swiss dog. That sounds interesting. Pink's hot dogs. Pink's now is in other places. I think they're in Vegas and they're in other places. And the lines are not as long, which means that, you know, maybe the hot dogs aren't as good. If you go to Los Angeles, you got to get a dog at Pink's, but you got to go. You cannot go. You said you went in the evening, right?
Yeah, around
and you
9
waited,
o'clock. 20 minutes.
No, that's not too bad.
Yeah, I think I'd go. The Brando dog. I went to go the Brando dog.
Actually, I almost got the Brando dog. Wait a minute, I did get the Brando dog. That was good.
We're the Travel Guys on KFBK. We're talking with Steve LaRosa, Mark Hoffman, and Tom Romano here, and we're talking about great places to get food in Southern California that have been there forever.
All right, now.
I think we got a musical cue for the next one.
I don't know. Throw something at me over there. I don't care. Anything, Luis.
No, we already did that one. We're going back to... We loved Pink's so much, it's returned to Pink's.
All right.
You got the Sunset Grills on your list.
Sunset Grill,
uh-huh.
Made famous by Don Henley of the Eagles, the Sunset Grill. Now, in your mind, when you imagine the Sunset Grill, okay. What did you imagine?
It's
on Sunset Boulevard, yeah. You know, it's in a kind of a chic sort of area there in Sunset, and it's, you know...
Tequila Sunset.
Well, forget your imagination.
Yes, okay.
The Sunset Grill is about as big as this room.
Really?
Yeah, it's a little hole in the wall next to the Guitar Center, which we'll talk about next week. The famous rock walk with the hands in cement with all the rock and roll stars.
Okay.
Right next door, the Sunset Grill. And, you know, we just got breakfast there. They do a lot of breakfast. They do breakfast practically all day
long. Is that one of those
long.
Places that's really little and people wait like, you know, an hour and a half to get in or something like that?
We were the only ones there.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. So wait a minute. You were the only people there, and you came back, and you're reporting on it as was the food good?
It rocked.
It rocked. Well, then how come no one was there?
You know, probably it might have been the hour. I think it was in. It was one of
what
those.
What do they serve?
It's on the list.
The show is coming apart at the seams here. We need some food.
Everything
I'm getting hungry.
Salads and tacos.
He went and got breakfast. Did you get the pancakes?
I got the French toast
Yeah.
And they also squeeze fresh orange juice if that's of interest to anybody who might be listening.
Yeah. The Sunset Grill. That really is a good spot. I mean, it really is but all up and down Sunset Boulevard there, and you can still a certain stretch of Sunset Boulevard there, you will pay three times what the food is worth just for the value of being seen.
Yep.
You know, if you're out on the sidewalk, those tables cost more than being inside because people can see you outside.
Mm-hmm.
And that's incredibly important to a lot of those folks. Okay, so after the Sunset Grill, what else have you got? We're talking about classic food places in and around the greater Hollywood area in Southern California.
Well, one of our stops was LA Live because we visited the Grammy Museum, and they have a number of restaurants in there. And
that's downtown, we should tell folks.
Correct. You are correct, sir. And we went to Tom's Urban and had breakfast there also. And I had
Is that anything like Jack's Urban?
No, nothing like it whatsoever.
You ever had Jack's Urban?
Yeah, Jack's Urban Eats. That's a great place to eat.
What do we
town.
Have at Tom's?
Tom's had, we got breakfast. I think I had the signature omelet, but you can get
how many
tacos
days were you guys there? It seems like you ate a lot of breakfast.
6 days on the road.
Oh.
And I'm going to see my baby tonight. Okay, Tom.
Okay.
Also visited the Foster's Freeze where she got into her daddy's car and cruised to the hamburger stand now.
made famous by
Brian
Wilson and the Beach Boys in their epic song Fun, Fun, Fun. And here comes the line.
Well, she got her daddy's car and she cruised through the hamburger stand now.
And she was, they're really talking about a Foster's Freeze?
It was a Foster's Freeze on the main drag there. And we went there. It was a Foster's Freeze. I wasn't hungry. We didn't eat there, but we...
Truth and reporting.
We also went into the pizza show where they used to hang out too. We were there to visit the Beach Boys monument.
Oh, okay.
Went down in my actual what do you want to say? The repurposed Beach Boys. They came out with a Pendleton years later. Same Pendleton that was on the album covers. Anyway, they put a little monument right by the freeway in Hawthorne where incidentally, the Wilson boys' family house was. They tore down the house. And that's actually featured in the movie that just came out, Love and Mercy.
More on some of those great sights to see next week on the second half of Steve's report. Meanwhile, back to this week's report. You've had all of these great food items now, and you're stomach is gurgitating, and it's time for dessert. So where do we go for dessert?
Well, we visited the Grove, home of one of your favorite places in the world, and one of my favorites now, Mark.
Oh, the farmer's market. Yes, yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I had heard of Sprinkles for years, so we grabbed a cupcake in the Grove, and it was okay. Bill, however, grabbed... a handful of them, and he was.
And Bill said
he loved them.
I have a copy of Bill's things here, and it says what Bill thought about things because Steve is telling us what he thought. But Bill, who was with him, said, "Sprinkle surprisingly good. Cupcakes are never that good." and you say so? He had more than one.
Bill had three or four. I had my petite little cupcake,
Grove, for people who haven't been there, is right next to the farmer's market, and it's a really upscale. Shopping. I mean, if you have to go in there and ask what things cost, then you probably shouldn't be in there. But the farmer's market, which is right next door, has gazillions of wonderful places to eat. Beignets, the guy that sells beignets there, they're not New Orleans style beignets, but they're as good a beignets as you can buy any place. All right. So speaking of beignets, you made one more stop at a famous donut place.
Yeah.
Is this the donut shop we talked about that wouldn't give you a donut?
Yeah, the cheap son of a gun. He wouldn't give us a free donut.
Are down in Southern California trying to mooch donuts? Is this what you're telling me?
Well, I don't know.
We didn't ask for a free donut, but he didn't give us one either.
Well, if you didn't ask for one, no wonder he didn't give us one.
It's the famous Randy's donut that you've seen in a number of Hollywood movies. Some
is this
of them
the big donut thing?
The huge donut on top.
Okay.
And they were pretty good. Bill loved them.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think Bill has a sweet tooth.
I think Bill has some. Yes, I'm thinking. I see a trend here: cupcakes, donuts. It says Randy's Donuts. Bill says amazing, even out of the sack from the back of a rental car 4 hours later. Is that great? Is that what do you? So did you have a donut at Tommy's Donuts?
I had an apple fritter and I was full of self-loathing hours later.
I see. Anything that you would, in closing, that you'd like to wrap up all of this gastronomical adventure here in Southern California?
Only this, that next week I am going to tell tales because, like I mentioned, the Grammy Museum and the Bill Graham exhibit, and we went on a tour with the world's most famous groupie, Pamela DeBar.
Oh, you went to Venice Beach. You went to a lot of places.
Yep.
You really did. This really was a rock and roll pilgrimage.
I designed this trip, Mark, and I'm hoping that maybe someday I can work at Sports Leisure.
I see. Well, just
what do you think, Tom?
Well, let's put it this way. Our demographics that would pilgrimage are ready to pilgrims. We're in that retirement mode.
Yes, some of us were pilgrims ourselves.
And we were.
Classic rock.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's it. Everybody's a pilgrim from a different time and a different era. All right, when we come back.
Brilliant.
Thank you, Steve. Steve will be back next week, right?
I will be.
With the second half of this report. So we're going to take another break. And when we come back, I have a first person report. We save the best for last and talk about something that happened to me and a group of folks from Sacramento last night on Southwest Airlines, except this time this story has a happy ending.
That's next on The Travel Guys. Keep it here. Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark and Tom, along with Steve LaRosa today. Okay, Mark.
It's a catch-all time. Well, listen,
what all we got?
Okay.
And the best for last.
We forgot one story at the beginning that we talked about in the headlines about the airlines doing exactly what the government is investigating them for, which is perhaps limiting capacity on certain routes and acting in collusion and sending people each other signals that they're doing things. And indeed, the U.S. Travel Association president and CEO Roger Dow, gentleman that I know, reacted to American Airlines' announcement that it's going to slow its seat capacity growth next year by saying it's depressing that actions that show disdain for travelers are the ones deemed to be the best business practices. American Airlines stock went up 4% that day. The real irony is that American says it's cutting seats because of softening demand, which we've been worried was inevitable all along, because surveys show U.S. travelers would most rather have a root canal than fly on a commercial airplane. This is the head of the U.S. Travel Association saying this. And you know what? He's absolutely right. So the airlines are kind of walking a thin line there. We'll see how that all shakes out. Listen, if you go to travelguysradio.com, there's some really good stuff there. And there is one article I posted this week, 10 ways you're sabotaging your ability to sleep on a plane. And we'll maybe try to spend some time talking about this in the next couple of weeks, but it's right on our website. And if you're a person who likes to sleep on a plane, has trouble sleeping on a plane, there are some tremendous ideas here for ways to be able to sleep better on an airplane. Travelguysradio.com. Okay, save the best for last. We got a few minutes here, Tom. I promised I would tell you about, and our listeners, about something that happened to us last night.
Mm-hmm.
We finish up our tour in Oregon, and we're headed for the airport, and I go on my iPad, and I've been tracking our plane all day, and everything's fine, and suddenly everything's not fine. And there's bad weather in San Diego and bad weather in the Midwest. And our flight has been diverted on its way to San Diego before it gets to Sacramento and ultimately Portland. And it's not coming anytime soon. Getting home at 8:45 at night till our plane pulled into the gate last night at 12:35 in the morning.
So about 3-4 hour delay.
4 hour delay for an hour and 15 minute flight home from Portland.
With
Southwest Airlines. Mm-hmm. Now here's the deal. It's weather related. It's not their fault. They owe the passengers nothing. I mean, really and truly, you're on your own. The weather caused some problems and some delays throughout the country. A lot of airlines were affected. It's nobody's
fault.
It's God's fault. Exactly. Yeah. So, we're sitting there, and we're 3.5-4 hours into the delay, and our plane is in the air and it's on its way to us, and we're laughing and joking and having a good time and carrying on. And the guy who's working the gate there, he gets on the PA system. He says, "Look," he says, "you folks have been really good about this evening." And he said, "You know, we really apologize for the delay, and you know, couldn't be avoided." And he says, "So what we've decided to do is we're just going to give everybody a $100 travel voucher."
Look at that.
And so
that's
and we were all just so in literally with the flick of an eyelash there, the guy spent $7,500 of Southwest money.
Mm-hmm.
And something they didn't have to do because nobody was ranting and raving or screaming at them. But I just think that is a complete example of why Southwest Airlines is better at what they do. The next time those people get into that situation with Southwest, I don't think they'll have an expectation that they're going to get $100. I don't think they set the bar higher or anything. I think it was just the guy saying, "Look, you people are nice people. You haven't given me a lot of grief." I went to the boss and said, "Let's do something for these people." And he said, "Yeah, let's do. And here's what we did."
Great. I couldn't even get a free donut.
You have a name for that. It's when you provide somebody a benefit or do something nice for them. Totally unexpected. What is that you call
positively
it?
Outrageous service, POS. Yeah. And that's what it was last night from Southwest Airlines. They made a great impression on 75 travelers who were tired and just wanted to get home. And it was something that and everybody applauded. When have you ever been in an airline where people waited 4 hours for a plane to get there and they applauded the airline before they got on the plane?
Never.
I've never happened. Anyways, I thought that was a pretty cool situation, and I thank Southwest Airlines for what they did for us and our travelers last night.
Awesome. We are the Travel Guys. I got a half a donut that left over from this morning that in my car for Steve. We're going to get to it here in just a minute. By the way, I noticed on the travelguysradio.com website that mentions the interview I did with Nick Watt, host of the new Travel Channel, Watt's World. We didn't get to that this week, but it'll be on next week.
It'll be on next week, along with Steve's second half. We'll be here to make you A Smarter Traveler next Sunday at 3 o'clock. Thank you for coming along with the Travel Guys. You have a good week. You too, Thomas.
Thank you. We'll see you next week, everybody.